Yeah, so you've already said my intro, but I'm gonna be talking today about our fourth core value, which is worship is an integral part of all we do. Integral obviously means central to all we do. It's core. What we do would be lacking something essential if worship were not a part of it. And true worship is when we value and treasure God above all else. And that really links back to our mission statement, which I'm sure you all know, is to be a habitation of the presence of God within the community. And worship allows us to fulfill that, because in worship we encounter God's presence. In worship we usher in God's presence. There's so much that could be said about worship, but I have a limited amount of time. So there's a couple of great books I can recommend to you. And there's a wealth of sermons available to you. I listened to some from our archive. If you go on the OCF website and the sermon archive, and down the right-hand side is a list of words and names and stuff. And if you click the word worship, you'll get everything we've ever preached on worship since 2011. And I did that as I prepared for this. And the sermons, I'd listened to one from Adrienne from 2011 or 12, and it blessed me richly. So, you know, use the incredible resources that we have. And those are all obviously longer than I'm going to speak for today. So I would encourage you to dig deeper. But in the time that I have, I can only share what God's been saying to me about worship over the past few weeks. And to do that, I need to give you a bit of context. So when I first started preparing for this sermon, I came across the concept that the word worship, the English word worship, is derived from the concept of worth-ship. And what God has continually spoken to me about over the last few weeks is the concept of worth, what he's worth and what everything else is worth. So to give you context, when I was given this sermon 4 or 5 weeks ago now, I wasn't in a very good place. I hadn't been, my routine had been disrupted by moving house, as you all know, and I'd kind of stopped having that daily walk with God. Physical walk, I'm not speaking metaphorically. And when I went on that walk, that was my time of real intimacy with him. And you'll see throughout the talk how the values are kind of weaved into one another. So I was missing out on that intimacy with him. And then in a short period of time, I made two quite big decisions. And to other people, they might not have looked like huge decisions, but to me, they felt quite symbolic and the stakes felt quite high. And I really struggled with them. And after much angst and deliberation and seeking some wise counsel from trusted friends, I made the decision to trust God, to trust him for his very best for me and to not settle for something other than that. And I wasn't considering anything massively wrong. I wasn't considering anything massively dodgy, but I just knew in my heart of hearts that it wasn't quite what God would have for me, that it was a bit of a shortcut. And I decided not to do that, but I wasn't immediately happy about it. In the week that followed, I actually witnessed somebody else that I know make what seemed to be a different decision and yet get what I feel I want most in my life. And I just felt like, what is the point? Why am I choosing God's best over what I really want in my life? Why am I doing this? What is the point? And in the midst of all of that, I was trying to think about this. And I thought, how can I get myself in the right headspace or even the right heart space to preach about worship when I'm asking myself, what is the point? So I sat with God and I said, what do you want to say to me about worship? And he said, worship me because I'm worth it, but also worship me because you're worth it. Worship me because I'm worth it, but also worship me because you're worth it. And he obviously didn't mean that I am worthy of worship, but he meant that he has ascribed worth to me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He made me with worth and he bought me back at great cost, which gives me worth. And he doesn't want me to settle for a less than life. He said, don't settle for a less than life. You are made to worship me. In Isaiah 43, verse 21, God describes us as the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. I am made for worship. I am most myself. I am most thriving when I am in worship. That is absolutely what I am designed for. And in worship, I become aware of God's presence. It's not that his presence isn't there. all the time. As the psalmist says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. So it's not that he goes anywhere, but when I am choosing something that I know is not quite, you know, I haven't gone to him and said, does this have your blessing? I miss out on his presence because I'm not looking toward it. You know, in that psalm, David is looking toward the presence of God. He's seeking him and then he finds him. God says he rewards those who diligently seek him. Well, what does he reward them with? He rewards them with himself, the thing that they diligently seek. The very best thing that we can have in this life is God himself. And as I prepared for this, I listened to another sermon from Jesus Culture Sacramento. It's fantastic, and I'll share it with anyone who's interested. But they were talking about their core values. And interestingly, one of their core values is to be a people of the presence of God, which is our mission statement. And in that sermon, Banning recounted the story in Exodus where Moses and the Israelites are in the wilderness. And having just been rescued from slavery, the people make a golden calf and worship that instead. And God is understandably displeased about that. And he says, I'm going to destroy you all. And Moses says, no, don't do that. And God changes his mind and says, okay, well, you can go to the promised land, but my presence won't go with you. And Moses said, if you don't go with us, don't send us. Moses prized and pursued the presence of God above the promised land. What mattered most to Moses was the presence of God. And that is an expression of worship when we seek him above everything else. And it really convicted me that I don't want to seek the promised land more than I want to seek the presence of God. The promised land or God's promises will look different to each of us. For me, it's a husband and children, but that is something I think I want most in my life, but I don't want it at the expense of my closeness to God. I don't want it when I can't look at his face and say, thank you for blessing me with this, because I know I took a shortcut. I don't want it. I don't want anything more than I want the presence of God in my life. And so the message I felt he gave me for us right now is to not settle for a less than life, to worship him because he is utterly worthy of it, but also because he has ascribed worth to us and he wants us to live in the life that is best for us. As I said, you know, his presence isn't fickle. I don't want to suggest that, you know, he comes and goes as he pleases, but he does say, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. He is a relational God and he responds to our hunger for him and he responds to our seeking of him. So, you know, you might ask the question, well, how do we know what he would want for us? Like that was quite a big decision in my life. But in the everyday moment by moment, how do we know what worship looks like? And the first three values have kind of laid that out. You know, as we are intimate with God in prayer, and as we are delighting in the Bible, and as we are open and obedient to his Holy Spirit, we will be aware of what is on his heart because we'll have read it that morning or we'll be sensitive to his prompting. An opportunity for me to help somebody out came up in the last couple of weeks. And as I was considering it, and it was like mildly inconvenient to me to do it. And as I considered it for a moment, the first thing that came to mind was do not withhold good from those to whom it is due if it is in your power to act. And the reason that came to mind is because I was reading Proverbs that week and I'd read it like that morning or the day before. And it amused me because I thought, you know, I knew I was considering this sermon and the values. And I just thought, you know, I'm delighted in the Bible. And now I know exactly what God's heart is for this situation. It's obvious. It's ingrained because I've been in it. And so, you know, as we do that, he will nudge and direct. And a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, instead of going to the prayer meeting like I usually would and I delight to do that, I went to the pub with my brother and I watched a football match, and I honestly believe that was the most worshipful thing I could do that night because I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to love my brother and to convey how much I value him and to convey his worth to him. And as I show him what he is worth to me, I would hope that it is a picture of what he is worth to God. I want to reflect God to him. I want to reflect his God-given worth to him. And so I'm not saying start skipping every meeting, but I am saying that we don't compartmentalize our lives. Like Andy said last week, that he is Lord of every aspect of our life. And as we are sensitive to and seeking him, he will nudge us sometimes in unexpected ways. But we want to be, this is one of my favorite quotes that I repost on social media from time to time. It says,
act in such a way that you are living proof of a loving God. And I think that is hopefully the outworking of our worship, that we reflect God's goodness and love to people. Psalm 116:12 in the Message says, "What can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out on me?" And 1 Corinthians 10:31 kind of answers that, because it says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And so my heart for us is to seek the glory of God in all that we do. And in doing so, we usher in his presence. In 2 Chronicles, when the temple was built, the people worshipped. It says they worshipped in unison as with one voice. So it's not an individual thing. Yes, I made a choice the other day that was mine and mine alone to make. But collectively, as a people, we choose to worship. And it says when they worshipped, then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And we are now his temple. And as we put him first, glorify him, worship him above all else, he will fill us. And in so doing, fulfill that mission statement. We will naturally be carriers of his presence. And the reason we want to do that is because we know that his presence is the very best thing we have to give. It's the very best thing we have to offer. And so I've picked a song for us to just reflect on at the end of my talk. And it's kind of the perk of doing the sermon, is you can pick your favourite song and you can pick your favourite version of your favourite song. So it's called Is He Worthy? And obviously in doing this talk, God's really spoken to me about that. And I've not had a chance to talk about, but obviously the answer is that he is, you know, and this song declares some of those truths, reminds us why he is. But I love it because it's real. Talks about how we wish the world is broken and we wish it wasn't, and the world can be dark and we wish it wasn't. But he says in the song, is it good that we remind ourselves of this in terms of the truths that he declares about God? And I just want to say really briefly, in the absence of the corporate worship that we enjoy together, and obviously that's a huge aspect of what worship is, that we gather and we offer praise and thanksgiving to God. And that's actually what we're going to do for eternity. When you get a glimpse of God's presence in Revelation, the angelic hosts are singing, holy, 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 and they never stop. And that's what our destiny is. And we talked in calling an identity about becoming what we already are. So we come alive when we get to do that. And obviously that's a little different at the moment, but it is so good that we remind ourselves of who he is. And so I picked the version by the writer of the song, Andrew Peterson, because I think it's like an added authenticity to the song that he wrote. But it's the only version I could find with lyrics. It's like a really still video. It's just a still of the cross. And I thought that was actually really good, because I hope that we would be able to reflect on the words, but also to reflect on that image of Jesus at the cross. If that were the only thing he ever did again for us, that would be reason enough to worship. On the cross, he made it possible for us to be in his presence forever. And so as we reflect on that, I just want us to thank him and recognize the worth of that. And then hopefully we will go out and recognize the worthiness of everything else that he calls us to. Thanks.